I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He done with His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Take Hebrews chapter number 12. As you find that, would you stand to your feet as we open the Word of God tonight? Get to the preaching time. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, very familiar verse, want to look at tonight together, please. We do have a meeting for our children's ministry workers, not just our Sunday school hours, but the 11 o'clock, and I'd like for our King's Kids crew to be in here tonight for a brief meeting after the service. If you would please just stay here in the auditorium for that, that would be helpful. Hebrews chapter number 12, is it warm in here? It was cold and then it was warm and we don't know what it is. I think we're just confused now. I'm not sure. And so one side is definitely warmer than the other. So if you want to switch when we pray, I won't notice. And maybe you'll get to the cooler side. I'm not sure. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this night, and I pray that You just help us and capture our attention, our hearts, as we get to open the Word of God. I pray You'd just move in a great and a mighty way. And Lord, I pray that You just do a work in our hearts tonight, and just challenge us, Lord, we ask, and lift up the brokenhearted and help those that are hurting, and encourage and challenge those that need to be moving on for the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And now I just hit the microphone off. And there's a fly attacking me up here. The flies are from the devil. I guarantee it. In chapel a couple weeks ago, there was about 10 flies flying around during the chapel time. And I thought, I don't know if the kids can pay attention, but I know I cannot pay attention with 10 flies flying around me. And the kids did pretty good. And during chapel, I texted Brother Mike and I said, "Have your wife bring your salt shooter gun so we can go to town on these flies after chapel." And I handed it over to the school, and I don't know what they did. Maybe they gave it to a kid, and they shot each other with them. I don't know. I'm not sure what they did with that. But hopefully it flies your direction, not mine. Ah, oh, there he is again. All right. Anyway, we'll move on, and we'll ignore the devil that's flying around me here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, it talks about a race that is set before us. You can very clearly get a visual from this verse that talks about our Christian race that God has for us to run. And it talks about this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The race that is set before us is God's will and God's plan for your life. That God has a will that God has a plan for each and every person's life. I want to challenge you about this. We're going to get right into the message. Most of it will be kind of introductory and give you a challenge in some areas at the end that I believe the Lord directed on this. But God has a plan. God has a will for your life. Understand this, that God's will is not limited to age. You know that? Many times we think, well, young people, if you would give your lives to God, well, what about the older folks too? Should the older folks give their life to God as well? I'm not going to say the age because I don't know which one I fit in, but I think I'm more on the older than the younger now. But many times we challenge the young people, give your life to God. Missions Month, we challenge about surrender, giving your life to God. If God has called you to missions, you realize that that could be any age or stage in life, that God calls you in an area of surrender to do His will for our children, for our teenagers, our singles, our young married couples, our older folks, our adults, our grandparents' age. God's will is for every single person in this room. Every person. That God has a race for you to run, for you to do God's will for your life. I've never been big into running. I've never enjoyed it all that much. I've gotten into running a little bit because I'm not as active as I was with teenagers and activities and I was like, I've got to do something to stay active somehow. So we run some, and every time I do, I regret every life decision that I made. I think of everything that I ate, and I come back and I'm like, why is my hip sore now? What happened with my foot? I don't know. And I think I'm to that age a little bit, not old, but just like, I don't know why it hurts, but I'm sure it's something that I did. And I start regretting all the decisions that I made in life. I've never really loved running and racing. It's not fun. Unless there's a ball involved, then it's good, all right? There's a competition that I'm all in on that. But we have a race to run. We have a race to run. I want to give you a few points as we begin. And first is this, your race is personal. Your race is personal. The Bible says, so let us run with patience the race that is set before us. To run with patience the race that is set before us, that there's a race that God has for you to run. It's a personal race. God's calling on your life, the purpose of why God created you, the plan that God has for your life. He has molded you and made you for a specific purpose. Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a special purpose and plan for your life? Young people, God has a plan for your life. The earlier and the younger that you can figure out that God has not just a plan, but a perfect plan for your life. You realize that? A perfect plan. Our plans aren't perfect. Anytime I plan something, I realize that when I plan it, it does not go according to my plan. How it went up here is not how it plays out here. We kind of laugh about it, how our plans, our big life plans and big stages in our life, there's always some huge disaster or there's some huge interruption that happens. And we kind of laugh now. We're like, we should have known it was coming. But God has a perfect plan for each and every person. Mom and Dad, God has a plan for your life. You want to be in the center of God's will for your life, don't you? Right, Mom and Dad? You want to be in the center of God's will for your life, don't you? Grandparents, don't you want to be in the center of God's will for your life, exactly where God has placed you, doing exactly what God wants you to do, running your race? Teenagers, children, God has a plan for your life. I know that it might sound weird and gross to you younger ones maybe, but God has a plan for someone for you to marry someday. A perfect plan. Not just anybody, but there's one picked out for you. I about have to point you out. I'm almost going there, Brother Seth. I'm almost going there. I wasn't going to, but he was calling himself out over here. God has a plan for your life, Brother Seth. Would you pray for Brother Seth? I'm just kidding. Oh, man. I was overlooking him, but he brought himself in. God has someone picked out for you. I remember as a young person thinking, well, how do I know who it is? Do I get a letter in the mail? Do I get a sign pointing, like, this is God's will for your life? Right? Maybe it happened that way for you. I didn't know. Until I was fully surrendered to God, whoever you want, whenever you want that person to come in my life, I'm surrendered to your will
for who you want me to marry. I promise you within, it must have been days or weeks that God brought my wife and I together. We weren't married that quickly, but that God said, that's the one. When I was surrendered to God's will for my life. Too many times that God has to get us out of our way. That's the biggest hindrance to God's will for your life is you. You getting out of the way and realizing that God has a race for you to run. It's a personal race. Your race is personal. See, everyone has a race to run. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're in the will of God for your life, you understand that God's will is good, don't you? That wasn't good enough, all right? If you are in God's will for your life and you believe that 100%, you know that God's will is good. Amen? That God's will is good. It's acceptable. It's pleasing in His sight and it's pleasing in your sight as well. That there is no other place I'd rather be than in the center of God's will. And that is perfect. And the perfect will of God. It's a personal plan that God has picked out for your life. God doesn't just spin, He doesn't just spin a ball around and roll the dice and say, well, you get this and you get that, or you're in a certain class of people and this is what you have. God has a special plan of why He made you. Again, this isn't just for our young people. This is for our adults as well. You want to know that you're in the center of God's will for your life, running your race. Running your race. Everyone has a race to run for the Lord, but understand this, that we're not competing against each other. That's the difference with a race. Now, maybe you run in a race and whatever distance it may be, we're not competing against each other. We're all running a race individually, but together for the Lord. My job is not to compete against someone else. Why? Because that can get discouraging, can't it? Right? You can get defeated, discouraged, either why they seem to be doing so much more for the Lord or why they're doing nothing. It could be either or. Lord, I'm doing nothing. They seem like they're doing so much, and you can get discouraged. Or you look around and think, is anyone else doing something for the Lord? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves amongst themselves are not wise. See, my job is not to compare myself with others when I run my race. Why? Because God made you an individual. God has a plan picked out for your life, and God wants you to run your race, not to run someone else's race. Your job isn't to compete with someone else and be looking over your shoulder. I wonder what they're doing. The world's good at that, right? Right? They want everyone to be the same, don't they? They want everyone to fit in the mold. You're supposed to wear these shoes and these clothes and carry this cup. I didn't know when cups became a status symbol. You know, maybe you don't understand that, or whatever other things are, I don't know, or phones. But the world has a status symbol that you're supposed to meet this certain criteria, and then you're successful. All you're doing is constantly comparing yourselves. Oh, they have that. Oh, I need to get it too. They have that. I need to get it too. Isn't that exhausting, right? And expensive? That you're trying to compare yourselves with everyone around you. But in the Christian race, your job is not to compare yourselves. Your job is to answer to God for the race that you are running. That you answer to God, that you say, God, did I run the race today that you wanted me to run? Did I run it pleasing in your sight? Your race is personal, but number two, your race is being watched. Your race is being watched. In verse number 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That there are others watching your race. There's a couple different passages in Scripture that I believe prove and show that people in heaven watch us run our race. There's a couple passages they would. If you argue with me on it, I wouldn't fight you on it. But running your race, that others in heaven are watching you run your race. You ever think about that? Think about those in heaven looking down, watching you run your race for the Lord, or maybe not running your race for the Lord. When I was a child, I competed in a number of sporting teams, was never an incredible athlete in any of them, but I enjoyed it. But there's something about getting ready for your game, all right? Excuse the sports analogy if you don't play sports, but you know, getting ready for game day, there's something special about that. My dad coached many of my baseball teams when I was young, or assistant coach or something, and we get out and get ready for the game, and you get your uniform on, and you get your water bottle and all your gear you need, and you go to the game. And you go to get in the game, and what do? When you go to get up to bat? Or you get on the floor to go take that basketball or that volleyball. What do? You look in the stands, and you see who's watching. Now, you pretend you're not noticing them, because then it gets you nervous. You get distracted. It's grandma and grandpa or someone out there is watching you. You're like, hi, and then you miss the ball. And you mess up, and you're like, don't distract them. You know, everyone's cheering and yelling at you because they're all coaches from the sidelines telling you what you should be doing. And you're out there, and you get up to bat, or you go to take that shot, and you see your family. You see your parents. You see your mom and dad, or maybe an aunt or uncle that came to watch the game, or a friend, and they watch you, and they're cheering you on. Maybe they get the sign, and they embarrass you to death, all right? Because, you know, their child is out there, and they're the greatest. And maybe you're not, but they think you're the greatest. And they're cheering you on, and they're watching you compete. They're watching you compete. And when they're watching you compete, doesn't it make you want to do your best? Right? Makes you want to do your best. Why? Because you want to make them proud. You put in the work to play. Again, it's a game. If you're giving your life for a game and that's what your life amounts to, that's a waste of a life. That's a waste of a life. If your life is about a game. But running the race, your Christian race, the race that God's plan that He's laid out for you in Scripture, and then God's specific plan and will for your life, that there are others watching you run your race. I believe that there are those in heaven watching us run our race. In the previous chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, is the famous Hall of Faith chapter. And you see, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. And it goes on and on. And by faith, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all of these that ran their race. And then in chapter number 12, it says, wherefore? Wherefore? Referring back to what was just read, wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. See, there's many that have gone to heaven that have run their race. There's many that have run their race before, not a perfect one in the bunch. Right? We're sinners trying to run the race for the Lord. Not a perfect one. All the ones in this passage, they had their faults. And others, I look in there and I go, God, I don't know why you put them in there. But that's what God did. I'm not trying to doubt or question the Lord. But they're watching you run your race. I think about loved ones that I know that are in heaven, watching me run my race. I think of my grandparents. I think about loved ones in our church. I think about saints in Scripture that look down and they watch you and they watch me. You have loved ones that taught you the Word of God, brought you to church. They prayed for you. Someone that invested in your life, and they're in heaven now watching you run your race. Doesn't that encourage you to do more for the Lord? Knowing that someone is watching you and they're cheering you on, I believe. The Bible says in heaven there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth in the presence of the angels, the Bible says. So I don't know how that goes, if there's an announcement in heaven, hey, there's another one that got saved, and they all cheer. I don't know. Maybe they watch and they see someone bow their head and see someone get saved here. And they see another one get saved there. And they cheer. And they watch when you're running your race. You may think, well, no one notices. No one cares. There's a host in heaven watching, cheering you on as you run your race. That should encourage us to do more for the Lord. A great cloud of witnesses in heaven watching you run your race. In the next verse, though, it says this in verse number 2, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As you run your race, you can get stuck looking around at everyone around you, the distractions, all the things, but instead you look into the finish line. We're looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And as you run your race, you look ahead and think about Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you start thinking about Jesus. We can get discouraged in our race with things in the world or what people are or aren't not doing. But when you run your race for God, when you serve the Lord and you keep your eyes on Jesus, that changes your perspective, doesn't it? That gives you a goal, that gives you a purpose, that I'm running my race not for others, but for God. I think about that someday when we enter into heaven and that moment where God rewards us for our works and we can lay our crowns down at Jesus' feet and we can bow and worship God and think, God, I'm thankful that I got to do something for you. I'm thankful that I got to give my life and serve you. When you run your race, keep your eyes on Jesus. You can get discouraged looking around. You can get defeated. But keep your eyes on the Lord. I think about this. When you enter heaven, don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Don't you want to hear, well done? God says, good job, servant. Good job, saint. Good job, bus driver. Good job, Sunday school teacher. Good job, child. I'm proud of you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you ran your race for the Lord. You ran your race for the right reasons, and you were looking unto Jesus. So when you look into Jesus, you don't get distracted because your eyes are on the finish line. I'm looking to heaven. I'm looking to eternity, but also you don't want to quit, right? Looking unto Jesus. Look at the rest of this verse. It says, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he did what? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You ever get tired in the race? You think, I want to quit. What's the point? What's the purpose? I mean, does it really matter? But then you think, but God didn't quit on me. But he stayed on the cross for me. But that God still loves me. That God has a plan for my life, and I can't quit. If Jesus didn't quit, I don't want to quit either. You ever have those days at work where they just get long and you're like, I don't feel that good, but I've got to keep going. And you just somehow, I've got to get through the day. And you think about some kind of motivation. Maybe you think of when I get to get home or when I get to go and eat a meal or come home and get a shower and clean up. And you, for the joy that set, you think ahead and it gets you through that day. Well, I want to challenge you with this. When you run your race for the Lord, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the best motivation you can have. Well, how do I keep going for the Lord? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, how do you not quit? You just keep your eyes on Jesus. What do you do when other people around you fail and fall? You keep your eyes on Jesus. So, well, what's the answer? Well, I think we should just keep our eyes on Jesus and keep running our race for the Lord. Amen? That we just keep our eyes on Jesus as we run the race that God has set before us. Know this also, there's people on earth watching you run your race as well. People around you, they're watching you run your race. They're watching you, whether you're in your seat or not, whether you're faithful to the Lord or not. Encourage others as you run your race. I want to challenge you with this last thought this evening, and it's this. In the Christian race, there can be setbacks. The Bible says here in verse number 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. In the middle of that running your race, we have a great cloud of witnesses over here. We have run the race with patience that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. But in the middle of that, we have that little phrase there, and it says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. See, to beset is to hold back or to entangle. To hold back, to keep you back from running your race at maximum speed, at the longest distance, running your best race. To beset is to besiege, to surround or enclose, as we are beset with enemies. If you were to be surrounded and someone was to literally hold you back or to entangle you or to keep you from running your race any further, to beset. The Bible says to lay aside, the Bible says, every weight. every weight. And then the Bible says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Understand when you run your race that there are things that the devil wants to get you to slow you down and to trip you up. You notice that? You ever notice that the devil is good at what he does? The devil's good at what he does. He knows how to trip you up. He knows your besetting sins. He knows the weights to try to keep you from moving on for the Lord. And he's trying to hold us back from running our race for the Lord, to discourage us from telling people about Jesus Christ, from being faithful to church, living a holy, separated life. The devil wants to hold you back with weights and sins that does so easily beset you. I need one of our young men to run up here and help me with an illustration. One of our teenage boys, want to come? Samuel, you look like you're the man for the task. Can I get you up here for a minute? And I'm going to need some of our boys to help me as well in a minute. All right? Are you feeling strong tonight, Samuel? We really needed Nehemiah for this illustration, but we'll take Samuel instead. Only because Nehemiah wanted to tell us how strong he was every moment that he could. And he's a pretty fast guy. If we ran in a race, I'd probably beat him by quite a bit. if I tripped him up, good. Because that's how old men win the race. We don't have to be faster, we have to be smarter. That's the way that we do that. But when you run your race, if I gave Samuel a race to run, he'd run the race and do pretty good. But unless if I gave him some weights to hold on to. I need some of our kids to help me to bring a songbook up here. Can I get some kids to help me bring a song? You can just bring them up here, all right? Can you help me? And we have some weights. So if you were to run a race, I want you to hold these, all right, Samuel? You can put them in your hands right here and hold them. Can you bring one up here and put them in his hands? All right, we're going to get quite a few up here. He could run the race on his own, and he could go pretty fast. But we're going to give him some weights. All right, pile them up. Get them straight, guys. You might have to lower it for them a little bit. You got more? You got to remember where they came from, kids. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble now. Can we get some more? His arms can go a little bit lower. There we go. All right, just a couple more. Just a couple more. All right, Teo, you're the last one. Okay, you three. All right? We're not going to be able to see him anymore. Can you get him up there? I got you. All right, okay, wait, hold on, we're not going to be able to get those on there. All right, take this one back, Edward, we're not going to make it, okay. Samuel, all right, you can put it back, buddy. Sorry, Edward, you want me to hold it for you? Here, I'll tuck it in his armpit.
No.
Samuel, how can you do running that race now? Do you think you'd run it as good as you could have just about 60 seconds ago? I don't think so. Too many times in our Christian race, we start adding weights to our lives. And we start building up weights and sins and weights and sins. And we wonder why we can't run the race as effectively as we once did. Right? And we start adding some wrong friendships that we shouldn't have. People that are not saved, not following the Lord, not a Christian, not going to church, not living a holy separated life. And we are adding some wrong friendships and maybe some pride in our lives. Pride is a sin, and we have pride. Maybe it's dishonesty, start telling lies and telling lies. Maybe there's some greed and coveting, and you're living for the pleasures of this world, and you're seeking for money and possessions and all the things you can buy. You're doing okay? Is it getting too heavy for you? Can you hold them? Come on, don't drop them. You're going to ruin the illustration, all right? Or maybe you'll make the illustration. I'm not sure. Maybe you start listening to some ungodly music and you wonder, why am I not running the race as effectively as I used to? And you're adding the weights and the sins and habitual sinful habits in your life, watching things you shouldn't be watching, listening to things you shouldn't. And you keep building up, and you think, no one knows. You're like, I wonder why I can't run the race like I should. Is the load starting to get heavy? It's starting to bow, that's for sure. Don't stick your stomach out. The load starts to get a little heavy, doesn't it? The hands start to get sweaty. It starts to get a little bit difficult to hold, doesn't it? God didn't want you to run your race like this. Can you keep it going for a minute? Hopefully. God didn't want you to run the race like this. He said to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset me. All right, kids, now you got to come back. All right? And so we start. Okay, wait, line up, hold on. Then you start confessing sin, getting your, how many did you bring?
Two.
Okay, great. Okay, wait. Okay, wait, don't take them out of the middle, buddy. All right, you got to put them where you got them, all right? And we start getting rid of sins. Okay, take them back. Okay, take them and run. All right, take them back. Here, just take one. All right, I'm getting destroyed up here. All right, take one and go, take one and go.
I got two.
All right, there we go. Samuel, they're helping to lighten your load. Does it feel a little better now?
Yeah, I'm sore.
There we go. See if you can find where they went. We actually, I don't know, buddy. We lost a fingernail in the process. All right, you can go back, buddy. Do you think you can run the race a little better now than you were just about a minute ago? How many times in our lives, in our Christian race, do we start adding baggage and weights, not confessing sin, not listening to godly music, not reading your Bible and spending time with the Lord, and the load starts to get heavier, doesn't it? We try to run the race with all the weights from the world, and our arms start to get tired, our legs start to get weak, we can't seem to get through the day like we used to, and the load starts to get heavy. But then the Bible says to lay aside, or to put off, or to take away. And as each of the kids came and attacked us, and we took aside one songbook at a time, and the weight started to get lifted, and you could run the race maybe a little better, and a little better, and a little better. Thank you, Samuel. You may have a seat. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. There we go. Sometimes we don't even notice that we're adding weights in our lives. We don't even realize that we're adding the sins, and it's building up, and we think, well, it's just one sin. It's just one time. It's not a big deal. I mean, no one knows, and no one sees, and it's not a big deal. I mean, it was just a lie. I mean, who's going to know? You know, it's just some coveting. It's just gossip, and we start building sin in our life. The Bible says every weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us, the Bible says. And we start building sin habits in our lives, don't we? We start building sin habits in our lives, and we start carrying a heavy load because we're not running the race as God intended for us, and it gets heavy, and it gets difficult. Eventually, running your race like that, do you think you could do that without falling? I don't think so. You'd run it slow, you'd trip and fall, you wouldn't finish the race that God had intended for you. But how many times do we do that as well? The Bible says to lay aside every weight, to put it off, to put it aside. How do you do that? You confess and forsake sin. Confess and forsake sin. Every time you start to get that load that goes to build up throughout the day, and we all get there, okay? And you get there and the load starts to build, and you say, you know what, God, please forgive me for that wrong thought. I'm going to lay it aside. I'm not going to let it build up through the day. I'm not going to let it build up through the week and build up in my life. You realize that the easiest way to confess and forsake sin is one at a time. Too many times we wait till it's a big, heavy load. And we go, God, I can't do it anymore. Marriage is falling apart. Kids are a mess. Your health is falling apart. We wait till the load is about to crash and we scream out, help! And God said, I'm here to help. But you could have done it. You could have confessed and got it right one at a time and laid aside every weight, the Bible says. Every weight, not just the ones you don't think are a big deal. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Confess and forsake sin. Put it aside. Put it aside. Put it aside. Put it off. Spend time in God's Word daily. How do you put off every weight and sin which does so easily beset you? You spend time in God's Word and prayer every single day. Every day. You get on your knees and say, God, I can't run the race without you today. I can't make it today without you. But too many times, what do? We try carrying the load, and we're bringing all our sins from yesterday, trying to carry the heavy load in the future. and we're blowing up at people and making a mess of this and wrong thoughts and bitterness and anger, and where God says, lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Spend time in God's Word. Take your Bible every day and open it up and spend time in God's Word and Bible and prayer and say, God, I need your help with my race for today. How else do we put off every weight and the sin? Spend time memorizing Scripture. Spend time memorizing the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. And you take God's Word and you hide it in your heart and you say the sin, if you were to say it was a sin that was represented by maybe different sins or a habitual sin that is built up in your life or mine, and you say, God, help me to break down these barriers, these strongholds in my life, because God, I don't want this sin to be the one that trips me up and gets me out of my race. Memorize the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Memorize Scripture. Take Bible in your life that addresses the sin issue that you struggle with, and memorize Scripture and quote Scripture when you battle that sin. And lay aside that sin. And lay aside that sin. And lay aside that sin. Say why? Because I don't want it to build up in my life. I don't want it to build up. How many times do we watch people that have a blowout in their life, spiritually speaking, and you think, what happened? They got away from God. They stopped reading their Bible, or they stopped going to church. They started allowing secret sins in their life, and they're carrying a weight till eventually they make a disaster of their lives. I never find joy in watching someone fall on their face and ruin their life. God forbid that we get a whole, be a part of the crowd that finds joy in someone falling in sin. Memorize Scripture. Next, pray for deliverance from temptation. You know what's even better than confessing sin and forsaking it? Never partaking to begin with. The Bible says in the Lord's model prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Say, God, help me to never even look the wrong way once today. Lord, help me not to even start with a wrong thought. Help me, Lord, not to have bitterness to creep in my heart today, or not even to turn that radio on one time. I know you don't turn a radio on this way anymore, but you used to do that, right? They say to tell your age, when you say pick up the phone, how many of you do this? That's the older generation. The younger generation does this. I didn't realize that for years. I didn't think about that. But to say, Lord, would you please help me to avoid temptation and sin to begin with? Lead me not into temptation. You know where the danger areas are in your life, don't you? You should. If you don't, the Bible says avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. If this is my danger area, I don't want to even get close to it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to look that way. I don't want to talk to that person. I want to stay as far away from that sin because I don't want to hold on to the weights and the sin. The Bible says, look at your verse here, and if I keep saying Romans, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so, what's the next word? Easily beset us. There's a sin that easily besets you and that easily besets me, and we fall to that sin. It seems like over and over, or can catch us easier than another one. And if you're not careful, you'll fall to that sin. You say, well, it was just once. Well, then it'll be twice. And then it'll be a third. They become a habit, and then you get out of your race completely. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get out of the race. Do you? I don't want to be disqualified, kicked out of the race. You don't get to run anymore because you've been disqualified. Paul's fear in his life is that he would not be a stumbling block, that he wouldn't be a castaway in his life. How many weights do we need to hold on to till we realize it's a problem? How many do we need to build up till we realize the hands are getting a little slippery, my arms are getting tired? You know, every teenage boy, they're the strongest person they've ever met. And then you realize that it's getting heavy. Don't wait till it crashes. Don't wait till it's a mess and it's falling apart. Spend time with God daily in Bible and prayer. Spend time with God. That's where you renew your strength. You build your strength for that day. You spend time with God every day in Bible and prayer. You meditate on God's Word every day. The Bible says day and night. You memorize Scriptures. Get your mind on the things of God, not on the things of this world. Confess and forsake sin when it comes. Confess it and kick it out. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then lastly, pray for deliverance from temptation. God, help me not to even go there. Help me not to even think that. Help me not to even look that direction. Why? Because I don't want to carry that weight around that God never intended for you to carry in your life. Many times we're carrying that weight and wondering, why is it not working the way that it should? God didn't intend it to be that way. So lay aside every weight and the sin. Head bowed and eyes closed, let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to realize that there's a race to be run. We get to be a part of the greatest work in all the world, and that's living